If you know he's all right, come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not be so good, but I know somebody who is. And I may not know three things. I may not know two things. And one thing I know, I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Hallelujah. I know he's all right. Thank you, Jesus. A good man.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Living the Spirit-filled life. And today I'm going to talk to you about living Spirit-filled. And so I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you? Examine yourself. Are you filled with the Spirit of the living God? Is the Spirit of God living you, and does he have his way in your life? Amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit is a vital necessity in the days that we're living in. Our hearts should cry out every day, daily, for more of God, because we need him and because of the times that we're living in. Amen. If you've recently started to fall away from your faith in God, then today is a day for you to reconnect. And to reconnect in the right way. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. That means that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to say something distinctively clear, so that there can be no mistake about what he's saying. He's speaking so clear. How many of you had the Lord speak to you so clear? I've heard people say, boy, the Lord spoke to me just as clear. Well, the Holy Ghost knows how to talk real clear to you. Amen. And so he's going to tell us something about the end of days. Or we could say the last of the last days, because the last days really began on the day of Pentecost. You remember Peter stood up and he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then in the last days, said God, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. He said, this is that. So that was the beginning of the last days. And now we're at a time in history where we have come to the end of the last days. And the Holy Spirit wanted to tell us something about what was going to be prevalent in the world, not just in a country, but what was going to be prevalent in the world during the last of the last days. Amen. And this is part of it right here. And it didn't take him long to tell it, because it's so crystal clear, it didn't take a whole lot of words. Yeah. Amen. He didn't have to give a whole paragraph about what was going to happen. Yeah. He summarized everything that was going to happen in these verses right here. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some, everybody say some, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Glory to God. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit said was going to happen. He said, some believers will backslide and stop believing in Jesus. He said, then in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That means they're going to leave the faith. They're going to stop trusting Jesus. And they're going to backslide into apostasy. And they'll get to a place where they don't really hardly believe anything about God anymore. In other words, people will quit believing and trusting in God. They will quit reading their Bible. They will quit praying. They will quit worshiping. They will quit praising. They will quit giving thanks. You know, the easiest thing in church ought to be able to get people to thank God. Because we're a bunch of believers. We should be running over with gratitude. Amen. Right? I should have no trouble pumping you up to thank God. Amen. Right? But why is it that you say, praise the Lord, and you just got to keep pumping people to get them to praise? You know why? Because they ain't praising when they ain't here. Amen. Amen. When you're not thankful all week long, it's hard for you to turn the switch when you get here on Sunday morning. When you haven't been doing right during the week, you can't. It's hard to turn it on. On Sunday morning for a few minutes. Amen. Right? And then just wait till that time go and be glad we get past this part. But when we say give thanks to God, we should be bubbling over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with praise. You know, when I got saved, I know Sister Lorraine was talking about in prayer yesterday about how when we got saved back in the 80s, it was just different. I mean, when people got filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a fire on them.
Amen.
There's an enthusiasm about Jesus, about sharing your faith, about doing damage to Satan's kingdom, about telling everybody the good news. I mean, just a fire and enthusiasm, because what we had received was so much better than what we was living that we literally came into a brand new life, and we was excited about it. And so I remember during those times being so in love with Jesus, just fell in love with him. Everything Jesus. You hear his name walking in the mall, you go, up to that somebody, he's talking about somebody I know. Let me see what they're saying about him. I know him. I know who they're talking about. That's got to be a believer there. Oh, we can fellowship now. But you got believers now, they don't care. They hear Jesus' name and they ain't hearing nothing. But I prayed a prayer because I was scared that I would slip away from my enthusiasm for God. I said, Lord, this is so good and so exciting and so adventurous getting to know you. Please don't let me slip back into religion.
Amen.
Don't let me lose my passion. Don't let me lose my fire. I'm just scared that one day that I won't be excited about him no more. Ooh, because I know that's a bad thing. Because religion can't change you. And so that's still my prayer. I need to stay on fire. I need to keep my passion for Jesus hot and heavy. Amen. I can't settle into some religious rut and then be complacent where I'm not looking for change. I'm not expecting any more from God. You know, I'm just going through the motions of serving him. Well, he's never satisfied with that. But look at what he said is going to happen, and it's happening. It's happening right now. This is how you tell when you start departing from the faith. You stop reading, you stop praying, You quit worshiping and praising God. You quit giving thanks. You even quit church. In other words, you ain't consistent in that no more, just when you feel like it. So Jesus not really being Lord, because you lording it over him, telling him what you're going to do. Yeah. Quit church, quit giving, quit serving, quit loving other people, quit witnessing. People lose their passion and their fire for Jesus. In other words, they shut down their Christian walk. Just shut it down. We ain't been about all this Jesus stuff no more. Some people just want just enough Jesus to get to heaven. I don't want to be on fire for Jesus. I just want enough to just go to heaven. We have to learn how to live spirit-filled. Amen. Amen. Now, why is this happening here? Jesus gave the reason for it. Why would some people depart from the faith? I mean, why would you walk away from the best thing ever happened to you? You know, we sing that song, Jesus, the best thing ever happened to me. Well, why would people depart from the faith? Listen to what he said. Giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, that word doctrines, you look it up in other translations, it'll tell you teachings. Things that demons teach. In other words, people will stop believing the Bible and will start believing demonic teachings. In other words, they will start believing the wrong thing. He said, that's what happened. Demons will begin to seduce them. Deceiving spirits will, they're always on your trail. They're always on your trail trying to deceive you, trying to fool you, trying to trick you, trying to keep you from having that devotion for the Lord that you should have, trying to break your focus and to bring distraction in your life to deceive you that something else is better. And in his teachings, people say, well, the devil ain't never taught me nothing. Let me tell you something. Same-sex marriage is a doctrine of the devil. That's a teaching that comes from demons. That's a teaching that's inspired by demons. That it's normal for two men to be together, two women. We need to accept that as being normal. That's a normal relationship. And guess what? Seducing spirits. Seduction takes place over time. Sometimes it's a slow process. The devil's been working on this for years and years and years until now you can't even hardly say anything about it without losing your job. There are lots of doctrines of demons. Anything that deviates from the truth, any principles that you live by that violate the scripture has been given to you by some demon. There are all kinds of religious doctrines out there, teachings, but some of them you got to check them at the source and say, do they line up with the word of God? Amen. Does it violate the Bible? And if it does, put a tag on it. Doctrine of devil. The devil's teaching. And he's busy trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to be the one leading you. He wants to be the one guiding you. He wants to be the one that's empowering you to do things. He wants to take the place of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is able to transform himself even to an angel of light. In other words, many people are deceived because they think that they're following God and they're really following the devil. Because he transformed himself. And the Bible says that his ministers are able to transform themselves. That's talking about human beings. People depart from the faith because they've been deceived by seducing spirits. They're deceived into embracing and believing teachings inspired by devils. Amen. And another reason not listed here, but I'm going to give it to you, is that they don't continually acknowledge the Holy Spirit and have lost their first love for Jesus. That's why people depart. They fall out of love with Jesus. They stop doing those things that they know that's right. Now, I got to tell you this part so that you'll understand why you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Because this is what we're confronted with out there in this world, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if you're not careful, then you will start dropping things, laying stuff aside that was good and wholesome that you used to enjoy doing. You know, whenever you hear Christians saying, well, we used to do, that means they stopped doing it. We used to. I remember when. That means they ain't doing it no more. I used to go to church all the time, and now I just go every now and then. What done happened? Did Jesus change on you? Or did you change on him? Did you stop believing something you used to believe that was putting you here every time the doors open? Did you change what you believed? One time you thought that was beneficial for you. Now, I'm not condemning you, but I want you to see the truth, because this was a warning given to the church. Amen. So I'm sharing this with you so that you don't allow this to happen to you. Believers get seduced away from the truth. Well, you know, all that tithing, I heard somebody say it ain't for today. Well, you've been in the Word, you done seen the truth for yourself, and you're going to let somebody talk you out of it? Yeah. All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see that God is dealing with the Apostle Paul in the second letter to Timothy. First thing that he did in the scripture we just read, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he gave them the cause. He gave them the cause of why people would depart from the faith and what they'll start believing. In 2 Timothy, he gives them the effect of being seduced and believing doctrines of devils. Cause and effect. Everybody say cause and effect. All right, the cause is the devil deceiving people and people believing the lie, and the effect is found here in 2 Timothy. Listen, I'm going to read this here out of the New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, he's talking about the end of days again, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, the King James says perilous times. Other translations say distressing times, times of great stress and trouble. Times that are hard to deal with. We living in dangerous times. How many of you know it's dangerous? Out there in the world is dangerous. You need to be prayed up every day. You need to be led by the Spirit every day, because you don't ever know what you're going to count out there, because we're living in dangerous times. And the reason is because of the effect of people that have been deceived by the devil. Listen to this. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Now, I got to reading that, and I say, now, in this description of this is the actions of people. This is the effect of not being led by the Spirit. This is the effect of not believing the gospel. And then I start looking at those characteristics, and I say, most of them are demonic. All right, let me go through the list again. People will be selfish. All right, now that's fleshly. That's people, you know, people loving themselves. We live in this selfie generation. You know, I mean, everybody like to take pictures of themselves. I ain't getting on you because you take a lot of selfies. You know, don't take pastor picking me because I take selfies. I ain't picking nobody. I mean, that's the age we're living in. Amen. But, you know, you just can't fall in love with yourself. You're supposed to love God more than you love yourself. They will be boastful and proud. Demonic. Scoffing at God. Demonic. God is the one that loved you. He the one created you. Why would you want to scoff at him? Why would you want to ridicule him and make light of him and make jokes about him? and have no respect and no honor for him, the one that created you. That sounds demonic to me. Listen to this here. Disobedient. That's a characteristic. Disobedient to parents, which means we're talking, taking another level. Disobedient to God. That sounds demonic to me. Living in disobedience. What about this one right here? Ungrateful. That's demonic. For you not to have gratitude. That's demonic inspired. They will consider nothing sacred. That's the devil. He don't consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. That's demonic. To not love people when God said that's the command to love one another. Unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Well, to slander others, to malign others, to speak falsely against people, that's demonic. They will be cruel and hate what's good. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying there'll come a time when people will call what's evil good and what's good evil. That's demonic, because that's perversion. They will betray their friends, be reckless, and be puffed up with pride, will love pleasures more than they love God. You see, you could see the influence of those deceiving spirits in these characteristics. And God doesn't want us to live that way. That's why I'm sharing it with you this morning. Amen. The only protection we have from delusion, from the delusion that's present in our world, is to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to teach us, yes, and to lead us and to guide us. And if you reject him, then you are laying your life wide open. You have absolutely no defense. I mean, that's a hopeless situation. If you just reject the grace of God, then there's nothing else left for you. The devil's just going to run over your life. And what would be sad about it is that you don't even know that he's doing it. Going through the motions, living day by day, but don't know that all the while, Satan is calling the shots. And we've been delivered out of his hand. We got no business having no dealings with him. We should have, listen here, tell your neighbor, have no dealings with the devil. None. All right, tell them on the other side this time, say, don't give me a place to the devil. Now you got the power to do that. Praise God. If you focus on doing God's will, then you won't have time to sin. Amen. We have to be intimately involved with the Holy Spirit, because an intimate relationship with him will lead to an astounding revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, when I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, he's going to give me a revelation of Jesus Christ that just blow my mind, that will keep me on fire. Hallelujah. That will keep me passionate about Jesus, that keep me, I mean, just in awe. And I'm still growing in revelation. You know, recently God gave me a revelation about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne, that's where we're seated with him. Now, I've been knowing these things, but he showed me another side, that the reality of that is real, that our redemption is a reality in heaven. I mean, it's just as real. It's a done deal. I mean, ain't nobody in heaven wondering, about Jesus, did you really do it? No, everybody up there already know it's done. So whatever he said about us here on earth and our faith is real there. And if it's real there, then I can have it here. I just got to find out what he did for me and then take it. And the Lord showed me that it's not a problem of us trying to talk him into helping us and talking him into doing things for us. It's a matter of us receiving what's already been done. It's just a matter of us receiving. It's not us pulling on God. Oh, Lord, please, please. The Lord laid the table. Jesus finished everything that needed to be done, provided everything you ever going to need in life. Then he sat down. Now he said, all right, I'll provide everything you need. Now take it. Take all this grace. The Bible said, take all the grace that I've given to you. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you will rule and reign in life. So he's already done everything he need to do for us to be victorious, for us to win every conflict, for us to have his wisdom. He's made all his wisdom available to us, all of it. He said, if you lack wisdom, just ask me, but ask in faith, doubting nothing, and it's going to be given to you. There's no reason for you not to have wisdom. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Peace already available. You just got to receive. Even our vision scripture, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. For what reason? Why I want to do all that? That they might receive forgiveness of sins, that they might receive inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith that's in me. He just wants you to receive. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. It's all about receiving. When in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached, and all the people repented of their sins and got baptized in water, and then they sent back to Jerusalem and said, hey, everybody there to receive the word, receive Jesus. And Peter and John came down there, and the Bible said, and they prayed for them. They didn't say, oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we please pray. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. Oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please give them the Holy Ghost. That ain't what they prayed. You know what they prayed? The Bible said, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. God had already gave the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you receiving. If he could ever get us, and that's what he's doing, he's positioning us to receive if we would just listen to him. We'll just listen to him. He's positioned us to a place where he can pour into us all that he wants to do for us. Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a big heart for everybody in here. And he wants everybody in here to be blessed. He wants everybody healed. He wants everybody to have more than enough. Right? So he don't want you to be disobedient, because that moves you out of a place of reception. You start receiving from the wrong source. Amen? Now go to John chapter 14. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit, and we have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. Amen. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's
right. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm most serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now, because they're getting close to God, that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them. Because now they think they're better than you, or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And so that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace, you got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness, that kind. See, all that, none of that's bad. All that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. Not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with.